Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Collective Minds.
It is what it is.
Peace. What up, family? This is your boy, your brother, Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel in the building. We can move right along. I don't know where Mufasa is. He not here.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all, and we are back again for another week. Hopefully to share constructive dialogue with the fam. You know, it's been a great year starting off. We're now into April, the fourth month of the year. So, yeah, we here, family. You know, we just kind of down, we here. And Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. So hit us up, you know what I mean? We ain't all got to think alike. We all think. And, yeah, we got some good dialogue lined up for the fam today. Before we get started, though, Queen Roger, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
I had a great week. Busy, like always, productive. So that's good, no complaints. The only major announcement I have right now is Isley Brothers versus Earth, Wind, and Fire tonight on Versus.
Oh, let's get it. That is tonight, huh? That's legendary. Tonight. That's big.
Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday. While everybody clean, got their Easter fit on. You know,
yes,
the three, the dresses, the hats. Let's get it. You know what I mean? For people who, you know, people who celebrate Easter. Yeah, that's beautiful. So the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire, that's big.
It's going down.
That's big. Yeah, it's going down tonight. The Verses. And people be trying to, you know what I mean? People be trying to make the Verses out of competition and who this, who that. But it's really about a celebration of both the artists. You know what I'm saying? It's a celebration of both the artists, the music that they came through. So, yeah, it's more like a celebration. So shout out to Timbaland and my dude Swiss Beats, you know, for that concept and making a, you know, making the rivalry come through. Because we done seen some good verses from who we didn't have. We didn't have E-40 Too Short. One of the biggest ones, in my opinion, the biggest one was Gucci Mane and Young Jeezy. Yeah.
That's the only
big
one I saw.
Yeah.
I'm going to see this one tonight.
That was big because that was for the culture. Yeah, that was big. That was for the culture. We had Ludacris and Nelly. We had who else we had? Y'all know anymore? We had Ashanti and Keisha Cole, right? That was recent. So, yeah, it's been some good verses. We had E-40 Too Short. We had Raekwon and Ghostface Killah. So it's been some good verses, and I liked it that they didn't flip, you know, Instagram during the pandemic, making it something valuable, something that we can remember, you know what I'm saying? And to me, that just speaks to the ingenuity of black people. And you know, y'all know me, I always go there. But black people are so ingenuitive and very creative, and we're able to take these platforms and make them worth billions of dollars, you know what I'm saying, millions and billions of dollars, because of the energy that we are putting into these platforms, you know, specifically Instagram when you talk about the verses. But just think if we controlled it on our own platform where everybody got to come to us, you know, to get the goods, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's just something to think about. But, yeah, the verses is dope. And, you know, I can't wait to see the Ozzy Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire go at it. We here, fam. Make sure you hit us up, 929-477-1697. And my brother Mufasa Ra, I think you with us. How was your week, my brother? Do you have any announcements?
Man, I had a good week. It's been a busy, extremely busy week, but I'd rather be busy than dead. So I can't complain.
That's right. Yes, sir. All right, No announcement.
Well, I take it back. One, I was just going to wait and go into it and bring it up during the show, but I guess we can kick it off with this. Did anyone of y'all watch them move the they had a big event over the weekend in Egypt where they moved all those pharaohs from one museum to another?
Right, I heard about it, but I didn't get to see it. But, I'm interested in hearing what you got to say, bro.
Oh, man, I got to admit. Now, I am one that really don't like the disturbances of the quote-unquote mummies. You know, I ain't really with that. But I got to give them some credit, though. They had a big production, how they moved them. It was kind of tight. Like they had them on these, you could tell underneath it was like some type of army vehicle, but it was all dressed up. They had their names on them, king such and such, queen such and such. They called it the Golden Parade.
And
it was tight. They had like an orchestra playing. They had motorcycles, you know, leading the parade. They had dancers. Like, it was a major production. So, yeah, it was tight. If y'all didn't get a chance to check that out,
it is what it is.
Yeah, look into that. It was kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah, I remember. I had heard about it. And, you know, Steve had sent me a few articles and videos, but I didn't get a chance to look at it. But it seemed like it was extravagant.
It was big.
Now, the thing that came to my mind, I'm going to be honest, because, you know, when they be digging up in them tombs, you know, that come with some people be getting on your family for being in them tombs and all that. So my thing is, I'm kind of with you, like, you know, is it a good idea to move these things? Because they moving them to a museum, from my understanding.
These ones were already in the museum, and they moved them into a new museum.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so they was moving from one museum to
gotcha.
Another. So they already basically been disturbed.
They've been disturbed.
Also,
they're doing a lot of renovating.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of renovating of the ancient temples and stuff over there. So you got a chance to do this parade. Like, they were showcasing that off. And I still just be in amazement of the architecture that was done at the time. Like, it was amazing. And then the other thing I got to say, the lack of dark people being portrayed. You know, like, they was in there. When you see it, like, I got a video of the whole thing. But, like, the Egyptian people were saying, like, this is our culture. This is our heritage. These are our ancestors. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I tell you, for somebody who jacked from culture, they did move them, and they did it with some grace.
It was big, huh?
It was tight.
Yeah.
I had to say, like, right. But I mean, for real, like, it was tight. Like, they really put it together pretty good. Yeah, I just got to be real with it. Like, you know, they got all this stuff on major display. You know, I wouldn't mind going over to see it myself, but yeah, it was big. It was like a 2-hour production.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they put something into it then. That's what's up. Well, fam, we here again. This is Collective Minds Radio. We are back for another week. Like I say, we into April. We into the fourth month of the year. So that first quarter is already done with. You know what I'm saying? I'm starting to break years down into quarters now. You know, the first 3 months, January through March. Then you got March through June, you know. Then June through October. Then October through the rest of the year. But, yeah, we knocked down that first quarter, but we here. It's been, I would say, somewhat of a quiet year compared to last year. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but, you know, this first quarter, to me, has kind of been kind of quiet, even though it's been a lot going on. If you know, pay attention to the things on the fringe and the peripheral. But it seems like they've been trying to keep it.
You know what?
Why is that? Why is that?
Because they got the dime up out of there, and now
they
this
got the
administration
out of there.
is doing their secret tricks,
right?
And scams right under the people's eyes behind closed doors. That's why it's quiet. You know, my gas. I'm saying my gas prices are high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The people are writing about, hey, we got stimulus. Yeah, but you give people stimulus checks, you raise just as one thing is you raise the price of gas up, so you get some of that back. Like, under Trump's administration, we were energy independent. You know, as soon as these guys, these clowns take over, it's back, the gas is going back up. It's ridiculous. You know, this is among other things, so that's why it's quiet, in my opinion, because, you know, this the new administration's back in there, and they locking folks back to sleep and making their changes and doing stuff right up under our nose, behind closed doors.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's no reason for, I mean, when Trump was in there, he was shaking up stuff, so, yeah, it was loud, it was things going on. They was doing things was coming up to try to just, you know, go up against what he had going on. So yeah, it was a disturbance. It was a major shake up in the planet. You know, he doing stuff like, and people trying to do stuff to combat that. So now everybody happy.
Right, quote unquote.
Quote
unquote, until they see the real. But yeah, I want to talk about this too, because I know this has been kind of, they've been bringing this up. There's been a lot of, we talked about this the last couple of shows as far as the Asian hate stuff and all this stuff been going on. But now, and they've been trying to, you know, implement black people with saying we attacking Asians and whatnot, which is a complete lie. Right. But anywho, this week, they say a brother, a black man, we'll say a black man, attacked the Capitol, right? He tried to drive through the Capitol and, you know, breach security and whatnot, and they ended up killing the brother. And from what, you know, the media is reporting, they're trying to connect him with the Nation of Islam. They mentioned Farrakhan. You know, they're just trying to throw this brother under the bus, which I don't think they telling the truth, the truthful story. You know what I'm saying? I think they just trying to, it's the media trying to
trying to create a narrative, and they trying to make it seem like black people are disgruntled and we want to attack the Capitol. So they use this one lone wolf and try to connect him to the Nation of Islam and Minister Farrakhan, by the way, and just implicate, you know what I'm saying, that represents all black people. So we kind of stand through the mess, and this is where the new black media really comes into effect, because we can counter that narrative, you know what I'm saying? We can counter to what the mainstream is saying, because from what I've heard, the brother is not actually a member of the Nation of Islam. You know what I'm saying? He didn't go through the training and whatnot to actually become a member. So I'm not sure what the mainstream media, you know what I'm saying, why they're lying. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to get y'all opinion on the story. If y'all heard it, you know, they say the brother was driving his car in D.C. at the Capitol, and he killed a police officer by running through, and they ended up shooting him. You know, and they saying he's a radical, and he had made some posts about paranoia. People even questioning his social media pages as if, you know, they but we never know. But I do know that they are trying to connect his brother to the Nation of Islam and Minister Farrakhan. So I want to know, you know, Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa, did y'all hear about this story? And, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, this particular story of someone, quote unquote, attacking the Capitol, you know, a black man attacking the Capitol?
Yeah, I heard about it. I didn't get a chance to get too deep into it. It just sounded like some foolishness. You know, to me, I'm concerned they're going to try to tie it into a lot of other stuff. They reach for a lot of things, especially by it being a black man doing it, which is unusual for our behavior, doing stuff like that. But so I thought that was interesting. But I'm like, okay, something don't seem all the way right, especially since, like I said, that's unusual behavior. Then they're trying to tie it in with the Nation of Islam. It's just like that's kind of weird too, because even the people that's doing the tie-in, they know better. I think Mufasa pointed out too, the guy had hair on his face and all that, which is clear that he's not an active or registered member of the nation. And the
exactly.
people that would
Exactly.
making the connection and to tie it in, they know that. So for them to even still say it, it's like, why are you trying to even imply it? You know, why are you planting this seed and to push this narrative to people who may be ignorant to it, you know, to make them think, okay, there's a connection. Now they already
Exactly.
try to act like so afraid of black people. Then there's going to be one more reason to feel like, black people are terrorists, and we need to be on the lookout. We got the George Floyd trial that's going on. We got the voter suppression that's going on. So I feel like I'm concerned that they would try to tie it all in to make black people appear a certain way. To continue to push the narrative that black people is just so violent and angry. I think they would try to use that. And they're so good at ignoring the other things, you know, ignoring what they do. They're so great at that. They gifted at trying to overlook their wrongdoing and try to pass it off to as something else and push it on another group of people. That's just like even with the trial. They are so great at passing their actions off as something so innocent. You know, they're so great at that. You know, it's just terrible. So that's my concern with that. I don't know the full details around it as far as, you know, why he did it and all that, but I did hear about it. I heard about the officer that lost his life. I know it was one other officer that was injured, and I think they ended up killing the young man. I think he was like 25 years old, too. But, yeah, I was surprised that they mentioned Farrakhan's name in relation to that on CNN. So I thought all that was just rather interesting. So I'm just going to see how it continues to unfold along with the other things, and just see how it unravel. Because it's not over.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Interesting. Now, my brother Mufasa, as a you know, member of the nation, like, how do you view this story and whatnot?
Honestly, I don't even view it. I thought, you know, we had a big attack on the Capitol that was way more violent than this one just a couple months ago. So what this little blimp on the radar, this cat did, for whatever his reasons was, wasn't even enough to, you know, move me at all. Roger, you know, basically hit on the head that I was saying that the pictures that I saw, the guy had, looked like he had locks in his head. And members of the Nation of Islam don't have, I'm talking to registered members of the Nation, don't have hair locks on their head, don't wear locks. So they were saying a follower, like anybody can be a follower. I don't even know why, you know, that was necessary for them to put that out there, that he was a follower of the Nation of Islam. So, yeah, I heard it, and I ain't looking into it no further. I let that go because I'm like, shoot, we had a big hit on the Capitol. So with this little one cat, his little noise, then he ain't moving nothing.
It is what it is.
Yes,
no matter
indeed.
What it is. Yeah, it don't even matter what he tried to do.
Right. Well, whatever the case is, I just found it interesting how they're trying to link the nation with it. But if you look at the story, you know what I mean? The brother was like, he was having issues. He had thought some people had poisoned him and whatnot. Because I was able to read like a Facebook page or something on social media. He's talking about he might have been poisoned. He suffered from paranoia. But his family did come out today and say that, you know, that he was a model student. Like, they was like, nah, he started having issues maybe from some sports injuries or whatnot, because I think the brother played football when he was young, and they was like, maybe some head injuries. But he started having issues, you know, based on that, and was talking about paranoia and, you know, the people trying to get him and whatnot. But they was like, he's not a terrorist. You know, they didn't even call the, like you say, the people that stormed the Capitol, they didn't even use the word terrorism for them in a lot of instances. So it's funny that you go blame this brother, and calling him a terrorist when it's clear he might have had some issues. And a brother name was Noah Green, and he was 25 years old. But like I say, his family did come out and say, you know, some head injuries from football may have triggered some of the mental illness. And I can bear witness to that, actually, because I had a good friend that played football with me. And he had some head injuries. And I believe personally, you know what I'm saying, that this caused, you know, some of his mental issues. You dig what I'm saying? So that's a real thing. You dig what I'm saying? That is a real thing. But anyway, we know how the mainstream get down. They go push their narrative for whatever reason. And we just got to be here to counter that. You know what I'm saying? Simple as that. But again, we here, family. It's Collective Minds Radio. That was just my brother Mufasa Ra. I'm brother Kev. And we got Queen Rigel. Anything y'all want to bring up? Because I got some stuff on deck, or y'all could, you know, anything y'all want to bring up?
Right, you guys,
you go ahead and go on that one.
All right. I had,
okay.
I did have something else.
Go ahead, brother.
Something else on my mind, though. And I don't want to butcher the brother's name, so let me make sure I got it here. Did y'all hear about the young man, it happened a couple of weeks ago, the young man who, Roland Martin, called ignorant, the young black man, I think he go by King Randall. Roland Martin called him ignorant.
I did it.
I did.
Yeah, this young man is 21 years old, and he was telling Roland Martin, you know, basically he's trying to, you know, get a school up and running for children, a boarding school. He believes more so just about do for self, and he don't believe in the voting process. That's what upset Roland. And I did a little bit of research into the young man. He got a YouTube channel that is promoting the school that y'all need to check out. Like, he had a few young men on there, and the mothers, these mothers who came on talking about it, who was like, yeah, you know, we're single mothers, and we really appreciate what he's trying to do in our community. It's in Georgia. And he wants to teach them a trade,
right,
along with getting a regular education.
Right.
But, man, I want to say that's what we all, you know, should be trying to do is doing for self. And we got to support people like that who step out there and get the ball rolling, you know. So I want people to go check out this young man's YouTube channel, and maybe we can even reach out to him ourselves and get more support to what he's trying to do in Georgia. But, yeah, I definitely want to shout that brother out and what he's trying to do, and see if we can donate. You can even go on his – I think if you go on his YouTube channel, it's a link to how you can donate to his school. So, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. If y'all want to go in some more, if you can.
Yes, indeed, because I did see the little clip when him and Roland was going back and forth, and you know, he kind of watched Roland up, because Roland was like, "Do for self? Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? Like, he's trying to play dumb, like he don't know what that means." And the brother broke him down. He like, for instance, you know, I started my own school and I'm doing this and that and whatnot. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? But then when I did look at the brother Instagram page, and I don't know, for me it seems like he was part of that MAGA crowd. You know what I'm saying? He like, I don't know, he just seemed like he was part of that MAGA crowd, that conservative black crowd, which is cool. Like I wouldn't take that away from him, you know, building a school for young black boys or young black children. That's a great thing. But I don't know. I would keep an eye on him, brother, and just let him do his thing. But he was on that kind of, you know, we doing for stuff because ain't no white supremacy, and y'all know we didn't already had that conversation with Mufasa about that. So I'm not with that. Like, there's no, you know, there's no system of white supremacy. But yeah, I do think, you know, I'm gonna just play it neutral for now and just, you know, get a brother's props on, you know, if he did the school and whatnot. But like I said, yeah, he was rolling with that MAGA crowd and a lot of conservative coons. But I digress. You know what I'm saying? I digress. And then we had the continuation of the Derek Chauvin trial. We talked about that last week. That actually started on Monday. Derek, whatever his name is, the dude that killed George Floyd in Minnesota, that trial started, I believe, Monday this week. And it's been very, you know, very entertaining. I don't know if y'all got a chance to see it, but I know, you know, Roger been watching, and she could probably tell us a little bit about what's been going on with that trial.
Yeah, I have been watching. I plan on watching it every day till the end. I'm just interested in it. But I'm just watching. Something's telling me that something is gonna go down. Maybe it won't. That's why I'm gonna watch to the end to see if something is gonna go down. Like I'm thinking, because I'm anticipating at the end. I'm like, I don't know how this verdict is gonna turn out. I know they don't want this man to go down. And that's the whole reason why we in the we having a trial. The trial is to get him off, because he already we already see that he's guilty of doing it. So it's like, why are we having a trial? The only reason why is to try to get him off and try to distort the truth, try to make it seem like it's something other than what we see and what we know. And so that so since we already
know
that they want him off, it's like, I'm just dying to see how this is going to play out in the end. How they going to? Are they just going to just give up and say, okay, we just going to go ahead and let you? I just can't see them giving up on the fight, and they don't like to lose. So I can't see them just giving it away like this. I know I've talked to a lot of people who feel like this is a very strong case. It's cut and dry. It's easy. It's obvious. A lot of people is involved of all different flavors and nationalities and colors, and everybody can see that it's wrong. All that is true, but everybody don't believe that, though. And that's the reason that we're having this trial. So we got to pay attention to the ones that is trying to act like, oh, it was an angry mob, because that's the defense. The defense, for those that don't know, of Chauvin is that Floyd was high on drugs. He was having an overdose. The other defense is that they were faced with an angry mob that was preventing them from even paying attention to Floyd and administering help. Proper help to him and all that. But if you listen to the case, they constantly contradicting themselves. So the case, the video is enough. I don't think it's like anybody watch that video and try to defend their officers. All of them, they all guilty as far as I'm concerned. They all should be behind bars, every single one of them. So if anybody watched this video and feel otherwise, you are a hateful person, you're cold-hearted, and you're just evil. You're an evil, hatred person. There's just no getting around it. There's no, his attorney, they should, whatever, if he getting locked up, his attorney should get whatever he gets, because he's even condoning it, and he's trying to defend it, those actions. So anybody who defends those actions and say that this man didn't do anything wrong, I think everybody that feels that way should be punished, because you're an evil, hateful person, and you're cold-hearted. I don't understand this. So I'm just really, just watching. I want to see what's going to happen, because these people that are so hateful that want to defend this and don't want us and have the sympathy for the officer and really don't want him to go to jail, I want to see if they can just sit back and just take this L and let this officer go to, go to jail like he's supposed to. I'm finding it hard to believe, though. But hey, I'm watching it to see, because I know, I know how things can be. But I really, to be quite honest, and I'm gonna say this, and we can move on. I can easily see that they're going to have some type of major disruption in the court where they're going to say it's a mistrial just so they don't have to give a guilty verdict. I can see the judge, just forget it, order in the court. I can see all this type of stuff just going down. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is why I'm going to watch it to see how it's going to play out, because, there's so much I can say about it, so I better just remain with my self-control and just stop myself right now, because I can go on and on about this mess. But that's my concern. But I think if you can pull up some YouTube clips of the past interviews and things like that when they talk to some of the witnesses, it'll be interesting to watch. They had the young man's girlfriend, Floyd's girlfriend on. Mufasa and I spoke about this. He see it from a different point of view. I thought, I was like, this is a bad witness. because, you know.
Right. A bad witness for the prosecution, right?
Exactly, but, yeah. Because,
yeah,
you know, she's
yeah.
on there to talk about, oh, my God, we were addicted to drugs. And, you know, he just recently had an overdose. And I want Mufasa to his point of view, because I didn't look at it that way. It's interesting, but I still, although I understand what Mufasa's, you know, different perspective is, I still just wish she hadn't even been on there. But, you know, I'm going to stop it there, and then maybe Mufasa can tell you his perspective on the side of Floyd's girlfriend taking the stand.
Right. Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, you want to respond?
Yeah, and I want to say this too, touch on a little bit what you said in the beginning, and this is not, I'm not taking nothing away from what you said. I totally understand about why you said what you said about this case being a way to get him off, but I do have to say this. You're supposed to be innocent to proven guilty. So we got this case going because, you know, they have to prove that he's guilty in order to get his time. So, yeah, he got to have his time in court, even though I totally understand where you're coming from, Roger Shue. We all witnessed that, saw that this man cold-bloodedly killed this dude. I agree with you. You know, but he got to have his time in court. And I personally think that they are going to hook him up. I think his charges carry a maximum of 40 years. And I think he's going to at least get 20 of that. That's what my gut tells me, that he'll get 20 to 25. I hope he at least gets that, because it was pathetic and unnecessary.
Thanks.
And the way he did George Floyd was totally uncalled for and unacceptable. So he needs to get some good time behind it. And I think he will. And when me and Roger had the conversation about his girlfriend, what I said was, to me, it didn't bother me that they put her up there. And I'm hoping that it might help out, because when she said that they were both addicted to pain medications, opioids, because she had issues with her neck and George Floyd had some issues with his back. And that's how they got addicted to, you know, pain medication, pain meds. And I was telling Roger that I've been around a lot of people who forget with the same circumstances of, you know, they start off with some surgeries or whatnot, and they start taking these medicines to cope with the pain, and they can't give them up. And I was telling her that I think a lot of people could relate to that. They weren't like they said that he was, shooting crack, smoking crack or something. But I think by her wording it that way, that people might not be as hard on it, because it went on to something. You know, that was a reason why he started taking the drugs. And that's why I say I like that she was able to tell the story, hey, you know, we had issues with some pain. You know, and I hope that will help in the prosecution and not hurt it. That's what I would hope, but, you know, I could be wrong.
We hope that the man get the maximum time, if not life. We all hope that, but it's just unfortunate that I don't even have to say for some reason, just scratch that out. But it's unfortunate that when it comes to black people struggle, they don't give us no sympathy. They can be doing the same thing, but still feel like ours is for a whole nother reason. So it just still concerns me. Just because she got up there and said, yeah, you know, we both was having, you know, back problems, and this is why. They still not, because he black, they not going to care about that. They don't give us the same sympathy that they give other races. They can see that for another race and be like, yeah, you know, having back problems. And you see a black person, they're like, you drug addict. Your mom was this. Your dad was that. You didn't grow up with a father. They're going to throw all these other. He didn't grow up with a father. You know, his mom was on the. What grade did you? What grade level did you go to? Those types of things when it comes to black people.
Well, hopefully, let me say this. Hopefully, this will ease your concern, right? Hopefully, it will. Yeah, I know how we always, you know, either on or off air, we always throw our little, you know, bet in there how these cases gonna end up. And so far, out of the cases we've done, I've been right in. Now I could always. It's always the time where, you know, boom, you get hit with being wrong. But so far, my track record has proven I've been right on point with how these cases go. And that's what I'm saying with this one here. I'm saying he's going to get 20 to 25. So if they can ease you a little bit, that he's going to get hooked up, just at least just look at my record of these cases.
Yeah, but you know what, Mufasa? I honestly won't be satisfied with 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
So even if he do get that, I still think I think the fact that there's a trial is disrespectful. The fact that he gets 25 years is disrespectful because, like I said before, this is not a split-second decision that he made and ended somebody's life. This was cold-blooded, calculated, premeditated, cold-hearted. I mean, this was just, he sat on this man's neck for over nine minutes. No emotions, didn't care. People was warning him, telling him what the outcome was, telling him what was going on, not to mention what Floyd was saying. He didn't budge. He didn't care. He did exactly what he wanted to do in front of the public. He didn't care. This was premeditated as far as I'm concerned. He is a threat to society. I don't feel safe with him in the world because he is unhinged. He is out of control. He's unpredictable because if you're going to do something like that and if you are capable of a human being to do something like that with no compassion, you cannot be trusted around people. Because if you don't like somebody, this is how you treat them. A man who you said then took drugs and is having an overdose, you choose to put him on the ground and put your knee in his neck for 10 minutes, almost 10 minutes. This is how you treat a man who you just saying was on drugs. He is cold-hearted, heartless. He has no human compassion. I don't trust him. And he don't. 25 years is not the proper response and the proper punishment for somebody that cold-hearted. And as far as I'm concerned, he's no different from a serial killer. He's just that heartless and that cold-hearted because he killed Floyd like he has done that before, like he trained in the army, like he just killed folks. He killed him like a serial killer, and he should be punished like a serial killer. He's not, 25 years is not punishing him properly, in my opinion. Not for what he did. Now, if you want to say, okay, it's this second decision. Now, you could have gave the lady who went up in the black man's house and killed him, talking about she thought it was her house. Okay, 25 years for her. All right, that's fine. But not for him, who just sat on this man's neck for almost 10 minutes and was digging his knee in his neck to try to kill him, to make sure he killed the man and harmed him. And then just going to get up and then talk to his chief, which they played on the court, and told him a lie, never told the chief that he just dug in this man's neck for 10 minutes, never said that he lied and said Floyd was just outraged and all that and out of control, just lying. And no, a man like that, 25 years ain't nothing. He's evil, and he should be punished like an evil man. So I won't be satisfied with 25 years. That's all I'm saying.
That, yes, indeed. She broke it down.
Now his attorney can get 25 years, and that's cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's yeah, family. If you're just joining us, that was just Queen Rija. We'll get to the call lines here in 1 second. Hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. But yeah, man, when I look at this trial, this is just, you know, I look at how they always put the victim on trial, right? This ain't the cop that shot George Floyd trial. This is actually George Floyd being on trial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They got this man who was murdered, and they put him on trial. They talking about his background, what he did, what he used. But nobody's talking about what the cop did. You know, what's his background?
He got a background.
Does he use drugs? You know what I'm saying? What's his emotional and mental stability? You dig what I'm saying? But nobody goes into that because, again, the victim is on trial. They did that with Trayvon Martin. They did that with Mike Brown. They did that with Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Philando Castile. Like anybody you can name, this is how they justify the murder, by saying that, oh, they had a criminal background, they had a criminal past or whatnot. So that's what I'm looking at here. You know, they got George Floyd on trial. They're talking about, again, like defense is, the cop was following procedure. He was supposed to put his... I'm like, hold on, wait up. If a person is on drugs and you suspect they're on drugs and they could be having an emotional or psychological response, you know, your protocol is to put your knee on his neck? That don't even make sense. You know what I'm saying?
No.
That doesn't even make sense if you are a humane human being and you respect people's lives. You dig what I'm saying? If someone is actually having an episode, you don't put your knee on the neck. Number one, the man was handcuffed, so he's not a threat. Number two, he was in the back seat, and then you pulled him out the back seat to put him on the ground and put your knee on his neck. So either way, they trying to really run with a narrative that is beyond belief or comprehension. But, you know, like Hitler said, if you tell somebody a lie long enough, they'll believe it. I mean, at least that's what they say. Hitler's a quote. I can't verify that, but that's what they say. Hitler said that. But the point is, if you tell somebody a lie long enough, the public has started to believe it. And this is what we're seeing right now. This is crazy that this is even a thing. Like, this should be an open and shut case, and I feel like, you know, the state or the prosecution who is really supposed to be prosecuting this cop, they're not really doing their job, because there's a lot of loopholes that you can really hone in on, and a lot of things within the law that you can hone in on and say, no, this is not the proper procedure if someone is having an overdose. You know, if you have someone in handcuffs and they're not a threat, why are you setting them on the ground to put your knee on their neck? That doesn't make any sense. So I feel like, and I'm going to be honest, I haven't really watched the trial. I'm just going by what, you know, people are saying and kind of the headlines and articles that I read. But it seems to me that the prosecution is in on it, and they want to let this dude out. Like, they're not really worried about justice or anything. They're just trying to go through the process and at the very least give them a slap on the wrist. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm sorry. At the very most, they're going to give them a slap on the wrist at the most.
Yeah. They want to pretend to us that. Yeah.
They're dropping the ball. Yeah, they dropping the ball because, number one, why would you pull his girlfriend on stage and she's talking about, yeah, we use drugs, we overdose and this and that. Yeah, that may be the case, but that has nothing to do with the cop putting his knee on his neck.
Exactly.
And basically suffocating the dude. That has nothing to do with it. You can be high as hell. But if someone puts their knee on your neck and stops you from breathing, you're probably going to die.
Even if you're not, regardless.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on, fam. But they trying to run that game, and the fact that we got to even, you know, argue these points and make this plain, like, it's not is what it is, like we didn't see on video what we seen, that's just crazy. You know, but, again, these people control the media, they control the narrative, so they can pretty much make the masses think what they want to think. I would say the line is pretty much drawn between black and white on this one, from what I'm seeing. A lot of the white people are saying, yeah, you know, he used drugs. Come on, man. You can overdose. He had heart problems, all this and that. And then black people are saying, hold up, fam. The cop put his knee on his neck. We don't know what would have happened if they would have simply put him in the police car and took him to the jail. You don't know, but the cop shouldn't be able to make that decision whether this man lives or dies by putting his knee on his neck when he's in handcuffs and doesn't pose a threat. You dig what I'm saying? Like, come on. So, I mean, the line is clearly drawn. You know what I mean? You can pick whatever side you want to be on as far as, you know, how you feel, but you're going to have to live with that. And people know the real. Like, come on, fam. You're going to justify putting a knee on this man's neck and stopping him from breathing. But either way, they want to get an emotional response, and I'm going to say this and wrap it up. We get to the call line. They want to get an emotional response from the people. Summer's about to pop off. They need some news ratings. They need some riots. They need Antifa to get back out there to co-opt the movement. And they want to get back to business as usual, pushing this liberal agenda from what I see in my eyes. Yes, they killed the brother George Floyd in cold blood, but also at the same time, the liberals are using this agenda, are using this incident to push a certain agenda to where they get people back in the streets, riots, ratings, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all these things. They want to get that news cycle back going from what I'm sitting back and seeing. So, look, I'm just an observer, and I'm really not picking a side either way. I know the dude was wrong for killing George Floyd, and that's the bottom line. I don't have to watch the trial to even know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got to watch all that to know that this dude was wrong, and he killed this dude in cold blood. So, yeah, that's where I stand, and I digress. You feel me? But, yeah, it's y'all want to hit the call lines? Or, you know, anybody want to respond?
Thanks.
Feel free. Let's go.
Okay, we're in the call line. There you go, 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well.
Let us have it, Pink.
You guys are racist,
right,
man. I'm going to have to tell it to you like it is. You guys are really terrible.
Let me
ask you a question off of George Floyd. You had two girls, two black girls, one 13 and one 15, hijacked a Uber man's car. He was hanging on. They drug him, flipped the car. He got thrown over and killed. Now, should not the 15-year-old be charged as an adult for murder? They were black. And should the 13-year-old be charged as a juvenile and given the maximum sentence?
Well, first
no,
off,
I think they should be charged as children,
in my opinion.
No, wait a minute. The law in the state of Virginia says a 15-year-old can be charged as an adult in case of murder. They killed the man.
Right.
Let me say this.
So let's look at some precedents. What are the previous cases before where children committed heinous crimes, and how did those result?
See, they went to jail.
Precedent and see.
It hasn't to be no precedent. It was that's a different and separate trial.
Well, no, we look at precedents to decide how we going
no,
to.
No. They committed a crime. Well, let's look at precedents with Floyd. Floyd and four other blacks, it might have been five, forcefully entered a white woman's house that was pregnant. He pushes a gun up against her pregnant belly and pushes her down on the on the couch while they ransack. Wait a minute. See, you guys don't like to be challenged on these things.
No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
It's got to be fair.
It has to be fair.
We're talking about character. And I know people don't like what I say. I know it.
No, we got to say what I got to say.
People
want to
hear.
Have the right to decide who has bad character or not. And furthermore, he
you know,
all
you do bring character. Didn't they not do it
on
OJ? Come on. You do bring character references up. Don't people come, wait a minute, during the sentencing, do people come up and testify, oh, he was a good person, he was nice in the community, he did, he took my children to camp? That's character reference. Exactly.
And that's
now,
because,
let me tell you.
Right. That is because
them girls,
that is for someone
them girls,
who's about to get locked up.
The girls need, the older one need to be charged as adult. And someone said, I heard that some adults put the girls up to it. Well, they should be also charged as a accessory to contributing to a minor to commit a crime, in this case, a murder. Now,
okay.
The murder wasn't intentional in that case. But no, I do believe
it was
that
intentional.
Pay for their actions.
They drove
it
down the street and the man is saying, "Stop! You got my car." They kept going. They sped up. Then when it turned over, they jumped out the car. Well, Kevin, now if you don't want me to talk on the show, tell me right now, and I'll hang up.
Intent.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me say something.
If you don't want me to talk, I'll hang up and don't call back. But you won't let nobody talk. You want to get your narrative out there one way.
Let me say something. This everybody just relax a second, because this is uncalled for. All this is really unnecessary. Now, Bianchi,
let me finish saying what I say.
We got to say.
I need to just clear something up. Now you the first caller. Yeah, you know I've been waiting for over an hour. You know we always welcome you and everybody else on the show. But he won't let me talk. I understand you feel that way. Everybody's trying to say something. We can't talk together. We cannot talk together. So I'm saying that we just have to come to a place where one person talk, the next person say, don't talk while someone else is talking. So everybody has to take a turn.
Don't talk while somebody else is talking.
It's not about somebody don't want to hear you. It's just...
All right, come on, let's go. Let me get, because you're wasting other people's time. Because what I'm saying is these girls need to be charged with the greatest extent of the law. Because the victim family thinks that they committed a crime against the state of Virginia, not the victim family, but the victim family never thinks the perpetrator is punished enough. On George Floyd, what are you going to charge Chauvin with? I'm asking the question. He was performing a tactic which was approved by the city of Minneapolis. In the rules, it don't tell him how long he can keep his knee on a suspect's neck. Nowhere in the rules does it say
that.
Well,
then that's the problem. That's the problem.
Hang on. He was not doing anything against the law. Now, Floyd's family received a settlement because he was in their custody and he lost his life. That's what the settlement for. It has nothing to do with whether or not the officer was in the wrong. That's a whole different trial. Same thing with Freddie Gray in Baltimore. He was in the custody of the police in the back of the van. They were supposed to secure him, whereas his life would not be in danger. When you're in the police custody, unless you do something totally crazy, they supposed to maintain you to take you to justice. That's why come the family got the $27 million. Think.
Okay,
just think.
Well, thank you for your comment.
I got one more real quick. Somebody mentioned something about Georgia and the voter reform. I read those 98 pages. There's nothing in those 98 pages of reform that suppresses anybody's vote. Matter of fact, in Georgia, when you go to cash a lotto ticket in, you got to produce documentation. The documentation is more stringent when you go to cash a lotto ticket in, from what I read, than it is for proving that you are eligible to vote. And these news media putting that hype out there, talking about the people can't have no water. Well, that's not true. They have water dispensers, and quite natural, within a certain distance of a polling place. You can't do any canvassing. You can't be handing out food as you canvass, because now you're bribing folks. The same way with those businesses that was donating money to one county, now, from what I hear. And they were donating it to the black county. What were they using the money for? Well, probably to buy water, food, and other things to get blacks out to vote. Well, that's wrong. Because the way it is now, when you donate money to an election, you donate it to the Central Election Commission. Then they divide it up amongst all the counties in the state. That's fair. Not just one, but all. Well, somebody don't like that. And they got pissed. Anyway, there it is.
All right. Well, thank
that
you so
is,
much, Carl. We appreciate that. And then while you're on the line, if you want to hold on, if you can, then we can respond. Because, Brother Cam, do you want to go first? Because this stuff he was
talking
about.
Yeah, I just make it real quick. I mean, with the George Floyd, I start with the girls. Yes, I believe they should pay for the crime they committed, but I don't think it should be any extrinsic or any different than any other case previously where kids 13 and 14 committed a crime. And I don't think the intent was, and I don't know, but I could be wrong, but I'm saying I don't think they meant to kill that particular driver that they carjacked. I think it was just one of those tragic accidents that happened. So I would give them the benefit of doubt on that. Now, as far as the George Floyd and the cop, his trial, even if that is the procedure for, you know, if, according to the caller, I don't think that's the procedure for someone who you suspect of being high, overdosing, you already have them handcuffed. It could be different if you didn't have the handcuffs and you're trying to subdue this person. Remember, they took him out the car. He was already in handcuffs. How did he pose a threat? Once he's in the car, you could have just drove off and took him downtown to the station. So the fact that that may be protocol when you're doing an arrest, this man was already apprehended. You dig what I'm saying? So, you're trying to use some narrative that they're pushing, but just look at the facts of the video. You dig what I'm saying? He's already in handcuffs. He's not a threat. He's apprehended. Why are you going to place him on the ground to put your feet on his neck if you suspect he's high and possibly could overdose? That doesn't make sense.
Right, exactly. I mean, as far as they say he was already, but just let me say this. Because there's no need to keep going around in circles, you know, because I really can't stand when folks like that, they try to defend, always trying to defend somebody else that don't even look like you. When you want to talk about the little girls and try to compare them to this George Floyd case, that is shame on you as a black man. Because first off, the issue is black people don't never have trouble getting punished. So you ain't got to come up here and talking about, so should they get punished or not. We already know they gonna get punished. Because we already know they punish black folks for what they do. We ain't talking about that. So don't even come up here talking about trying to compare them girls to George Floyd's situation. Totally different. Totally different. Leave that alone. When it comes to black people being punished for crimes, leave that alone. Because we get punished for crimes. With no problem. So the case is about whether or not this man is going to get charged properly for cold-blooded killing a black man.
That's the talk. It ain't about what about those two young girls? They gonna get punished, trust me, with or without. You ain't gotta have a decision or opinion about
exactly.
that because the court got opinion
right.
about it because they black and they gonna make sure they punished. So we ain't
right.
gotta talk. What about that? That don't even make no sense to try to compare that. That don't even make sense. That's two separate things. The topic at hand is this officer gonna get charged properly for doing what he did to Floyd. Floyd's background ain't got nothing to do with it because if it did, the officer's background has something to do with it too because everybody got a background at the end of the day.
Right.
Everybody
the officer
has
the one
a background.
Trial. The officer's on trial, not Floyd.
And other
the
stuff,
officer's
well,
on
I,
trial.
I know we're running out of time, so I ain't going to even address the other talk, but I really wanted to say something about that. We were just getting talked over each other, so we had to let our brother Pianchi finish, and we had to, you know, give our reply to that. So let's move on to another call. Area code 319. Huh, Mufasa?
Yeah, I've been patiently waiting the whole time. I'll make mine real quick. I more so look at the fact that when we want to talk about the changes, the problem is that he's officer. Blase blah. And I always say it's hard to hit these officers up because of the laws that are in place. And Pianchi did bring up a good point about the move, the technique was an approved technique. Those are the type of things that has to be looked at and has to be changed. We have to focus on it. These police get away with these things because they are officers and they have the law on their side. The law don't want to slap the law around. We just got to look at that. So we can't, when people going out here doing their voting, whatever they doing, you know, when you talking to your senators and all that, this type of stuff got to come up. Just because a person got a badge on, they don't have a permit to kill, a license to kill. This type of stuff has to be changed. You know, it's more I can say too, but I just wanted to say that part and I'm going to that boy so the callers can get in.
Okay. Area code 319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I have a comment and question. Probably I'll be rolled up in one. So you're saying as a black man, I'm supposed to back a criminal, the criminal element in the black community. I'm supposed to back up the criminal. I'm not going to
no,
no,
no. I'm not no, saying
that.
You're not asking
me. That's
what I'm saying.
No.
And as far as I'm concerned, with George Floyd, as soon as he started using fentanyl and meth, he was already dead.
Wait.
I don't care about George Floyd. As soon as you start using meth, you're gone.
Say that again. What did you say?
I said the police report came back and he had enough to kill him. And if you think me as a black man, I am going to support George Floyd, no, I don't. Because once you start using meth and fentanyl, in my world, you're already dead. I have no pity for that criminal. Drug user. And then you got the leader of the Black Lives Matter out here.
Brother Kim, let him
talk.
Okay.
So black people need to figure out, are you going to protect your criminal element or are you going to let the police come and get them out? What is it going to be? Because you guys can't have it both ways. As far as I'm concerned, he was a criminal. He was passing fake money.
Really?
No, he didn't have to put his knee on his neck for 10 minutes, but he was going to die anyway. His top report came back. He was going to die anyway. So
really?
And I'm not going to back the criminal element of the black community. I am not going to put a criminal on a pedestal, especially at Mutthead.
Woo.
All right now, brother.
Okay.
Well, here
right.
You
well, thank
all
you.
Right.
I see what meth, like I said, I see personally what meth can do to a community.
Yeah.
Right. And it's nothing good.
Yeah.
So if you're on meth, you might as well go on an overdose and get it done and over with instead of bleeding the community dry.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Okay.
Dang.
Like I said, if I had my way, I'd put you in a room. If you chose to do that drug, I'm just going to come in and shoot you. Because your life ain't worth saving
right.
If you're killing yourself anyway.
Hey,
right. Now look,
hey,
check this out, Carla.
All right, Carla. Thank you.
Carla, right on.
Thank you, Carla.
Carla, right on.
Thanks, Carla.
Because, right on. I appreciate that because I'm actually rational enough to somewhat agree with the caller because those type of drugs are very harsh. But I don't think the cop, Derek Chauvin, had the right to kill that man. If that man is on drugs, that is obviously a problem where he needs to be rehabilitated. See, if we're going to be a society where we care about the weakest among us and we care about the people, I'm sorry, that's my dog, y'all. Sasha. But if we care about our society and we care about the weakest amongst us, we should be trying to help those people, not condemn them. You see what I'm saying? So, I cannot give the criminal cop who killed George Floyd a pass either. They both, I'm not saying even what George Floyd was doing was, I don't think that should have resulted in his death by being killed by another human being. Like, if he wants to overdose, let him overdose. You don't have to, you don't have the right to come in and just kill this man and put your knee on his neck because really, we don't know if he was going to overdose or not. You know, he was just, according to the toxicology, just using the drugs, but that has nothing to do with the behavior of this cop. And no, black people are not protecting the criminal element of society. We are just pointing out the hypocrisy when it comes to white criminals who do the same thing, but they get a pass. You dig what I'm saying? They get a pass.
Thank
oh,
you. I don't think
it was
the
this. He's
think?
A loner. He was doing this and that. He grew up as a troubled teen and kid, and they make all these excuses for these white perpetrators of crimes. But then when it comes to the black person, oh, you protecting criminals. You see what I'm saying? So we just smart enough to point out the hypocrisy when it comes to black victims and white victims. So, you know, I could agree with you on some level. Yeah, he was doing drugs. It was very destructive to himself and this and that. But that doesn't give the cop the right to take
that's
that man's life.
That's two different
you get
things.
But
to sit up
I
and
digress.
Talk about that. And just because he do drugs, that makes the officer it makes it okay for the officer to handcuff him and put his knee on his neck for over 10 minutes. That sounds so
right.
Foolish for you to
that
think
sounds
that sounds okay to just because the man was on drugs. You saying it's okay for somebody to come up in there and just and kill him like that? You cold-hearted too, as far as I'm concerned, and you probably already know you cold-hearted. So it's all good because you said you would kill him too, and I guess so. Why you ain't just going around just killing the rest of the dope fiends that's on drugs then? Because there's plenty of them out
right.
Here. If you think they need to be dead, then just go ahead and start doing what you think you need to do because there ain't no way in the
right.
World. And to just answer your question, nowhere at any time ever on this show or off the show have I even gave the impression that I'm taking up for anything or anybody that's doing anything wrong. So that, just to clear it up, that's not what I'm doing. But we ain't talking about George being on drugs. We're talking about the fact this man put his knee in this man's neck for 9 minutes and killed him because he want to say he used drugs. So he's killing him because he want to say he used drugs. That ain't why you kill somebody. That's not why you do it.
Right.
And if you want to bring up, and if you want to criminalize George so bad And, yeah, I am going to say as a black man, because it's done so easily all the time, but nobody criminalized the white man. So because George was on drugs, you telling me that this officer, because he white, he's perfect. He's perfect. He don't have a past. I mean, he don't have a history. So he's a perfect person, because that's how you sound. Yeah,
right.
That's why I'm bringing up the fact that black people is always criminalized, talked about everything that a black person do when they get killed by an officer. Oh, my God, he's this, he's that. Nope. And so that means you saying that the officer is perfect. He ain't done nothing. That's your white Jesus, your white God, as Mufasa say, your white Jesus.
Right.
So he's the righteous person that can determine
right.
whether or not you need to die. Come on now.
Right. Over,
I can't believe I have to tell y'all.
Yeah.
No,
this
you over counterfeit 20, he get to decide, you get to die, because you high, you got to counterfeit 20.
Do I got time to respond to, or do we still got a caller?
We do have. Let's take one more caller. Let's take one more caller, Mufasa,
you want to respond, then take one more caller. Yeah. No, go ahead. I remember
what I got to say. Okay, let's take one more caller. Area code 315-767. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
I didn't know it's silly to bring me on this late in the conversation. Go ahead and let Mufasa say what he's got to say.
Sorry about that.
You
Thanks
sure?
for calling in.
You
right,
sure?
Right on, caller.
We got a little heated. Sorry, caller. Okay,
yeah.
Mufasa.
So look, now y'all know how I am too. Look, the callers then already, you know, came to battle. And I appreciate their viewpoints very much so. I'm on the in-between here because we all know how I feel about the white-black dynamic. That's no secret. I still feel we should be separate, and that will fix a lot of these problems. But on the other hand, I don't cut slack when black people do things that put themselves in harm's way. And so, yes, George Floyd put himself in danger. He did. I have to be honest, sir, and say I'm always the one that's like, man, why you just didn't just go ahead and just get in the car? Why fight when you're going to lose? So let me first start off by saying that. When are we going to learn that we're behind enemy lines and you're not going to win trying to fight with the police? You just ain't going to win. If I was there, you even heard the one man, it hurt my heart to see him on the stand. He was like, man, I was just telling him, man, you can't win. You ain't going to win. You're not. You know, so I'm always the one that's trying to train black people on how to maneuver in these situations, because I don't expect officer shavings. I don't expect them to change. The snake gonna always be a snake. So I'm trying to train my people on how to avoid getting bitten as best I can. So you put yourself in these situations to get jammed up. And I hate that he did that, you know, no matter what he was going through. Like, you were sitting in the car before they pulled up. You were sitting there chilling. Now that they're trying to arrest you, you're talking about, I'm claustrophobic, I can't get in the car. But you clearly was in the car. Just go ahead and take the air, whatever, man. Just go ahead, put the cuffs on, go in jail. Live to fight another day. That's the part that really be bothering me. I already know what these devils going to do. They were looking for an opportunity for you to climb so they can murk you. And I'm not going to ever expect them to change. So I'm trying to tell my people, please, please teach yourself, your children, and your family how to deal with these folks while we trapped here and while we stuck dealing with them. Because they ain't going to never change. You give them opportunity to kill you, and that's what they're going to do. Now, I really hope that Officer Shaving get the book thrown at him, because he deserved it. What he did was horrible. And I don't care if Floyd was on drugs, whatever, that stuff don't matter to me neither. Because at the end of the day, if I was the officer, I would have handled that a whole lot differently. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
I would have just put hands on the maid and get in that damn car. Look, you going and that's that. I am not finna sit there and put my knee in that man's neck and strangle the life out of him. That was a punk move. It was a soft move, and ain't no getting around it. Your big grown self, it's 3-4 y'all, and y'all can't handle one man. Man, that was weak. It was weak, even if it was an improved move, whatever. That was very weak. So he deserved to get the book thrown at him because he could have took his knee off. But the man was motionless. Damn, get your knee off of him. And I say one last thing, because we didn't ever address this in this conversation. But we also got to start talking more about how we should react when we sitting back watching stuff like this. Because, you know, people sitting up pulling their phones out. And we heard in another video where a brother commented and said, man, the dude was an MMA fighter and his weapon of choice was a cell phone. We got to start training each other how to deal with stuff like that. Because I already know if I was there, I could not have sat back and watched this man out like that. I would have had to do something.
The last caller could have sat back and watched it because Floyd was on drugs. Yeah. That's sad, too. That's sad to say.
And I feel you on that. I feel how you being upset on that because we don't have empathy for people. Yeah, you know, I don't like, you know, people on drugs, this and the third, neither, but I'm not finna sit there and watch a man get choked out like that. Now, yeah, I might slap his ass around.
Yeah.
I might knock the hell out of him.
For somebody to be able to look at that video and say, so what? He deserved it. Dang, that's cold.
Right.
You act like this, that's act like Floyd and done something to you.
Right.
Now, if he had done something to you personally, like if he had smacked your mama or somebody like that, your sister, your wife, your kids, then I can understand maybe you being able to have that type of disposition towards this man. But he ain't never done nothing to you. And you can sit up here and be like, he deserved that? For what? For using drugs? You know how many people front, and I ain't going to even say front, but you know how many people look at marijuana as drugs and criminal activity like that? So if you out here smoking marijuana, as innocent as you might think it is, somebody might look at you as a drug addict and be like, well, you deserve to die too because you're a drug addict. Just because you think of marijuana as an innocent drug, that don't mean everybody do. And at one point, still now, the law don't totally look at it like that. They're trying to transform now, but it wasn't always looked at as an innocent drug. So for you to sit up and
they brought up smoking weed in the Trayvon trial, remember? They was talking about he was smoking weed and whatnot. Like, this is what I'm saying. They always put the victims on trial and go through their background and, you know, hit them with all these charges and make it seem like the killing was justified because they did all these bad things. No, fam. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like, no. So, and then they want to make it seem like black people are protecting criminals and we just be protecting our criminal class. No. We just looking at, again. Yeah, that's not true. We're looking at how white criminals, for the most part, are given the benefit of the doubt, and black criminals are punished to the full extent of the law. You know, did both of them commit a crime? Yeah, probably so, but no, we're not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to do that to where you have impunity to kill a black person. You know, you can kill a black person with impunity and get off. Yeah, and just get off. No, and then you use the fact that they was committed a crime or they was on drugs or whatnot. You use that as justification for that. No, we're not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? No, that's not going to fly. That's bullshit.
Somebody even look at this video and be like, that's okay, this man deserves it. And as far as I'm concerned, Mufasa, he gave up. He at one point gave up. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, but at one point he did take the L. But the officer, the problem is the fact that the officer was still, George Floyd tapped out. He tapped out. And the officer was like, forget your tap out. I'm about to shove my knee in your neck some more. George did tap out. He
well,
did.
Wait a minute. Well, let me defend myself. I'm talking about from the very onset. That's what I'm saying. Once all that mess kicked off, I totally agree with what the officer did. I mean, he's a cold-blooded killer. I'm saying in the very beginning, that's when they walked up to him and said, hey, man, you know, what's up with that? We're taking him into custody. When he started struggling then, that's what I'm talking about. Just take the L then. Okay, they say they finna arrest you. Just go on, take the cuffs and go on to jail. That's what the poor I was talking about. So I just wanted to defend myself on
And I do agree with Mufasa on that. We have to train our people to understand when you get pulled over, get accosted by these folks, these race soldiers, these police, you have to look at it like you behind enemy lines and, okay, you got me, whatever. I ain't saying nothing until I get a lawyer. You know, there's a certain protocol we have to abide by when we're dealing with these folks. And this is part of the reason why I say, you know, consciousness and being conscious and aware is going to save your life in the future, especially as a black person, because you have to know these things. You can't be out there talking about, oh, what you doing? Now, even though this is not the George Floyd situation, but you don't want to be out there arguing with the cops and doing all this and that, trying to plead with them and, plead your case and all. That's not the time and place for that. They caught you, especially if you were doing something illegal. They caught you. If you wasn't doing something illegal, they may have you. But you want to at least extend the time so you can, you know, have that fight later on. You know what I'm saying? And don't give them a reason to try to do something crazy. Because at the end of the day, they're going to justify your murder, whether they, you know, pull out a gun or what have you. You have a better chance of just complying and just, hey, we'll just talk to my lawyer. Take me to jail. You know what I'm saying? We'll just talk to the lawyer, whoop-de-whoop, whatever. But that's the situation we're in. We have to be conscious and aware of the situation that we're in when we're dealing with these race soldiers and police. And that's only going to help us, prosper and live longer and be able to do what we got to do. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't want to give them a reason. You know, there's other battles that we can fight on another end. You know what I'm saying? But I agree, Mufasa, we have to learn how to interact when it comes to being pulled over or accosted by the police. You dig?
We should all know how to ourselves and in all different types of scenarios. So that's just, you know, it is what it is. But I know one thing, right. That white man that put his knee on Floyd's neck like that was cold-blooded. He was heartless. You can see it in his body language. You can see it in his aura. You can see it in his face. You can see it in his actions. Mm-hmm. Everything about it was a racist, hateful, cold-hearted-blooded thing. And ain't no getting around it. And so I'm not going to trust him. So as far as I'm concerned, George gave him his wrist. They cuffed him. And I don't know what was going on in that car. As far as I'm concerned, the officers could have been doing something to make it appear that way, because I don't trust no murderer like that. Because until I see the tape of the officers' cam while they was in the car showing me the struggle, I don't know, because I didn't see George putting up that much of a struggle.
I saw that though. Yeah, I saw it myself. It's out there. You definitely need to check it out.
Yeah, he was already in cuffs. But even so, it still ain't really going to change my opinion one way or the other, because they was dead wrong. We already know that. We already see it, and now we all, because apparently some folks don't believe it. And I'm just really shocked to hear that somebody going to call here and say that this man deserved it. You might as well just go ahead and start. If you that cold-hearted, you that tough and strong, and you might as well just go on start out and just go on busting up everybody around here. You that cold-hearted, because that's some cold-hearted stuff. If you got that much cold-hearted in you, you might as well just go on out here and just start blasting a lot of folks. But we appreciate everybody calling in.
Calm down.
Woo! Man.
heated. Y'all done heated the queen.
Yes, indeed. Let's go. Hey.
Woo.